Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, that you have not left us here on earth, Lord, to struggle and to flounder around without your word and without your powerful Holy Spirit. I pray, dear God, that you would just work now, Lord, as we open up your word. Father, take away the distractions. Take away, Lord, me from the picture. And I pray, dear God, that you would just speak through me, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts, Lord, by your holy word this morning. And Lord, that we would be a people that would leave this place, Lord, better than when we came in, as we look to your Holy Spirit and look to you, Lord, for growth. And I just pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So real quick, I want you guys to think with me about building blocks. And we've been talking about that now for a few weeks. And the first thing I want to share just real fast by way of review is, here's what we talked about so far. The Word of God is the building block. It gives us direction. It gives us understanding. It helps us to discern what's true and what's not. We talked about prayer. What an incredible resource that God said. And by the way, in that same passage in John 14, the Lord says, if you ask anything according to my name, I hear you and I'll give it to you. In other words, if we ask things according to God's will to bring him glory, he's going to give us what we need. Right? Prayer is an incredible thing. Pastor Ansu talked about stewardship. And we could just underline that word so many times about the idea of us taking responsibility to be the people of God that God has called us to be in all kinds of areas, our gifts, our resources, all those things. Everything comes from God, and God wants us to be a good steward of that. Last week, we talked about the power of fellowship. And by the way, this morning we experienced the power of fellowship in learning about subjects that are hard. That's fellowship. In worshiping God in a way that just lifts us up out of the mire and the awfulness of the challenges of life and says, there's a hope beyond this place. The power of being together as the body of Christ, one in Christ, is amazing. Fellowship. And today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we want to focus our mind today as we're talking about this foundation of the Holy Spirit and this Spirit-filled life or walk that God calls us to. You know, and we just read, and by the way, Romans 8 is an amazing passage. You know, he's talking, thinking about what the power of the Holy Spirit does. But God says, if you walk according to my flesh, it's like death. But if you walk in the Spirit, it is life. It's hope. It changes everything. And that's what we're going to focus our mind on today. By the way, we could spend all week going through the passages about God's Spirit. But we're going to try and just encapsulate some of those today. So here's the thought. You know, these days, it seems like building your faith and building a church, it is like impossible. It seems like it's an unbelievable thing. And as we think about this, we need some type of game changer to make us succeed. It's not going to come from our human flesh, our strength, our power, our ideas. We're just going to leave it short. And what I want to mention this morning, what I want to talk about is this. I want you guys to listen to God's word, because he has given us exactly what we need in his Holy Spirit. And he's in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't get away from him. You know, he's going to convict you. He's going to confront you. He's going to bring things to your memory. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. So as we kind of turn to our eternal truth today, I want you guys to get a hold of this. We talked about building blocks. Now God wants us to be an ambassador of Christ. But a Spirit-filled, controlled life or a walk is a foundational resource for our growth, our health, and our life. And life controlled by the Spirit, by the way, not the flesh, results in newness. Remember in 2 Corinthians, the apostle wrote these words. He says that we are new creatures. How come I keep wanting to act like the old creature? Anybody wrestle with that? That old creature just keeps wanting to come out, because my flesh is leading the way so many times. But God wants us to act like the new creatures we are. And that newness of life comes out when we walk in the Spirit. And it results in biblical thinking. I can look at things and listen to things and respond to things in a way that pleases God. And by the way, will ultimately probably please everyone else too. You know, that those are things that God's looking for. It brings out practical righteousness. The Holy Spirit enriches my prayer life. And the Holy Spirit, and we'll focus on this at the end this morning, just gives us fruit in our relationships and our service. And about you, can anybody use a little fruit in relationships? Amen to that, right? In our service to God as well. So we're going to talk real briefly about the Holy Spirit. And here's the idea. I want you guys to get this in your mind. We just read this. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the moment that you got saved, he was the agent of that salvation. He came to live within your heart. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, God can't be contained in a building, but he chose to contain himself by his Spirit in each one of our hearts. And he's always with us. Jesus said this. He says, you know, he said, I'm going to go away, but he says, I'm going to leave you with a comforter. And that Holy Spirit, so he's there to comfort us, to come alongside of us and within us, to give us hope, to give us direction, to move us in the direction that God wants us to go. And this indwelling Holy Spirit does that. Now, I want you guys to get this in your mind as we try to understand this theologically. The Holy Spirit had an amazing work at salvation. In fact, the Gospel of John says this. It says that none of us would be born again unless the Spirit of God drew us to him. Remember we read in Romans, we studied this passage a while back. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone to our own way, right? And it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. No one does that. But guess what? The Spirit of God, because God loves you, he called you, he reached out to you, and he drew you to our Heavenly Father. And that happened at salvation. And not only did he do some things at salvation, which I'm going to hit on real fast, but he gives us power for life every single day. And I don't know about you, I could use a little dose of that power right about now. You know, we're kind of reaching the end of ourselves, and we need God to really step in, and we want to think about that this morning. So jot these down. Some of these, the big points are in the bullet, and here's the little points below it. But here's the Holy Spirit. Here's some of the things he did at salvation. The first thing he did was he created in you new life. The scripture says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, but by work, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I like the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Write that down. That passage starts out, it says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, who once walked according to the way of the prince of the power of the air, being controlled by that thing, the Holy Spirit has given you life. It's given you life, right? And Titus says this, right? That renewing of the Holy Spirit, making us who were dead, alive. The Holy Spirit does that, right? He gives us new life. The second thing he does, and we'll hit these really quickly this morning, is he confirms that we're the children of God. And Romans 8, 15 to 17 says that. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He lets us know who we are, whose family we're in, and that gives us a hope that we can count on the Father and the Son. Amen. He gives that for us. He confirms that for us, that we know who we are in Christ. You know, he also does this. The Holy Spirit baptizes us, or he brings us into the universal church. You know, by the way, it is so exciting to see what God is doing at First Baptist Church. There are 15 young people in our new members class. 15, right? And we're going to baptize them back there, you know, right behind that shade. We're going to baptize them coming up. We're not going to wash off their sins, but the Holy Spirit who saved them, he baptized, or he brought them into the body of Christ. And that's what he does. He baptizes us into the universal church. In other words, churches all over the place have believers like us. And the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit has brought them into the body by his shed blood, his resurrection, and the work of the Spirit to do that. He brings them in. He brings us into the church. The Holy Spirit did those things. The Holy Spirit, right? He also gave us gifts. And we all like gifts. The idea his gifts are, these gifts are to build up the body of Christ. So the fact that there's a lot of us here today, praise God, because we need every one of you. And God looked down the corridor of time and he said, you know what? I'm going to gift each of you with something that's going to help to build up the body of Christ at First Baptist Church of Willingboro on 216 Sunset Road. And he sent you here today. He made sure your car started so you be here, right? He wants you here, and he's giving you these special abilities to build up the body of Christ. By the way, we're going to talk about that coming up in a class. It's called the Shape Class, figuring out what is our gift, where's our heart, what's our abilities, what's our personality, what are our experiences, and how do I fit into the body? How do I become a part of the team that's going to make this place grow for the glory of God? That's going to change Willingboro, that's going to change Burlington County, that's going to bring people into the kingdom of God forever. That's what God's trying to do. He gives us gifts, and he says the Holy Spirit, he distributes to each one individually as he wills. So you can't say, you know, God, can I get one of those gifts of this? The Holy Spirit says, here's your gift. It'll be exactly what you need, because he knows God's will for us, right? He gives us gifts. Here's a big one, by the way. And people go all over this in Christendom, and this has been a challenge over history, but the Holy Spirit seals us for eternity. Amen. Look what Ephesians says. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. And that sounds like really theological. You know what he's saying? He says the Holy Spirit who saved you has sealed you in such a way that no matter what happens in your life, you will never, ever lose your salvation. Amen. You could sin. You can try to run away from God. You can try and do all those things, but God is never going to take away your salvation, because his Holy Spirit has sealed that permanently in you. Amen. And by the way, that's why we praise him. Amen. It's not from us. We praise him because he's given us this gift that we can never lose, give up, or throw away. And the Holy Spirit seals us for eternity. Does all those things. Now, the Holy Spirit also gives us power for life. Get these in your mind. What are some of the things the Holy Spirit does? And God's word, by the way, says this all over in the Gospels too. It says he helps us understand and apply scripture. By the way, in the Gospels, it says he even's going to bring things to our mind. He's going to convict us. He's going to make sure that, you know, you learned maybe something as a kid, and it's going to come back to you just when you need to know it. Yeah, and by the way, how many times have we had that happen in our lives? We're going through something, you know, we hear the word of God on the radio. We read it in Daily Bread. We hear it at church. Someone comes along and shares a verse with you or something. You're like, how do they know? They didn't know, but God did. And his Spirit helps us apply scripture. And he says in his word, he says, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that God has freely given to us. Isn't that awesome? That God's given us that ability to know truth, to know what he wants us to do, to know what we need. God's given us, helps us to understand and apply scripture. The Holy Spirit, by the way, also, he enriches our prayers. Not only does he direct our prayers and our thoughts, but even when we don't know how to pray, he prays. That's an incredible, but I'll throw this out to us. How many times have we all probably been there where like, I don't know what to pray? I know I ought to pray, but I'm not sure what to pray. You know, we just cry out, you know, oh, God, and the Holy Spirit kind of fills in, here's what you need. He enriches our prayer life, right? He does all those things. And how about this? The Holy Spirit, he's our power for life. And check out this passage in the book of Galatians where we're going to spend our time at the end here this afternoon. It just says, he says, I say then, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Amen. Does anybody have a habit, a problem, a sin that it just seems like you can't overcome it? You don't have to raise your hand, but we have probably, yeah, you can. Yeah, amen. Preach it, brother, amen. We do, right? Well, here's the Holy Spirit. He says, if we follow, we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We live life in his power. We listen to those convicting words. We try to apply the scripture he gives us. We obey God's word as what it says. Then we're not going to fall prey to the dominion of our sin. Sin's not going to reign over us. Praise God. Cindy, by the way, always works so hard to match up these songs. We just sang Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. Amen. Amen. This would be a good time. We got to sing it right now almost, right? Our chains are gone. Like sin doesn't hold me no more. It only holds me when I let it. When I say, yeah, I'm gonna do the wrong thing, even though everything is telling me don't do it, I'm going to do it anyway. Right? And y'all been there, right? You ever been there like with your wife and you mind saying, don't say it. Don't say anything. Don't say it. And then you say it and it's a whole hot mess, right? Right? We choose to do that sometimes, right? But praise God, the power of sin is broken. It's broken. He gives us that power to live life. And by the way, God knew how hard it was, and that's why he gave us his Spirit and his word to work in tandem to change that. Right? How about conviction? This goes along with that. His power for life, it has to deal with conviction. It says, you know, Ephesians 4 says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, when the Holy Spirit is grieved, like God's grieved, God's upset when we sin, he convicts us. Here's the word, guilt. Everybody look up. A lot of people say, I don't want to feel guilty. Everyone say, don't feel guilty. Guilt is a tool that God is using to change our life and get us on track. We don't want to fix guilt with a medication. We don't want to fix guilt with some teaching that says everything is okay. We want to fix guilt by doing what God says. Confessing our sin and cleaning up our life based on his power and by his word. Like God uses conviction. The Spirit of God convicts us. It's a good thing. Everybody look up. All the good things in life don't feel so good, do they? You know, guilt doesn't, it never feels good. You know, you never want to feel like you did the wrong thing. But man, God uses that to bring us in line where he wants us to be as his children. Right? It's that good thing. So conviction works, right? And then he brings us to where we want to spend the rest of our time today, which is this idea of fruit of the Spirit. You know, isn't it cool that God's word, a lot of times he'll give us promises. He says, if you do this, here's what's going to happen. And look what he says, if we walk in the Spirit, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. By the way, Valentine's Day is coming up. We got to be better lovers, right? Right? Love, right? And we'll talk about that in a whole lot of ways coming up. We could use a little joy. Could use some joy. Going to give us joy. It's going to give us peace. Man, we need that. In this day where I can't seem to rely on anything, I need some peace, right? And then he goes on, he says, how about long-suffering? By the way, that word doesn't even sound good, does it? Long-suffering is the idea of patience, and in particular, that word is often used to say that when we walk in the Spirit, we're going to have patience with people. Because people are who try our patience. Circumstances can do it, but people take it off the chart. Don't they? Amen? They really do. So we're going to have that long suffering. We're going to be kind. We're going to have goodness. Our faithfulness is going to be enhanced. We'll look at that. The because we trust God and His Word, and self-control. Boy, if I look at the world, boy, we could use a healthy dose of self-control, can't we? In kind of a funny way, I'll say it. How many folks, by the way, wasn't it cool that the Eagles won the game last week? Amen, right? Amen. All right, all you non-Eagles fans, I feel you. All right? But, you know, here's a little bit of self-control. Did you guys hear in Philadelphia, they actually greased the traffic lights and light poles so that people would not climb them. They still did. You know, self-control. I know the Eagles won, but you hanging off the red light is not going to be a good thing, right? Right? Yeah. I can think of a whole lot of better ways to celebrate than from hanging by the light pole, right? Self-control. We need a healthy dose of that too, don't we? But look what he says. He says, those who are Christ, who are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, have crucified, rendered ineffective the flesh and its passions and desires. I just want to clarify for you guys. I love sports. I've never thought about climbing a light pole. Yeah, right? Maybe you have, but I haven't thought about that. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So the Spirit gives us that control, that right thinking, that conviction to drive us where we need to go. And it has an amazing product of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I want to move us to the next point. So this walk in the Spirit, how does that thing work? People are asking, how does that work? How do I do that? I surely could use it. How do I do it? And this walk in the Spirit has this idea of living powerfully first and then living fruitfully second. So let's take a look. Let's just kind of think about God's word for a second. And look at Romans 6, by the way. And by the way, this goes along with that amazing grace psalm. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everybody look up. This idea of reckoning, it's like an accounting word, like count it to be true. This is the truth. Everybody look up. You are dead to the control of sin in your life. You don't have to sin anymore. When you were in the flesh, you couldn't help it. Now the power of the Holy Spirit has changed your life, and now you can help. Right? That's the important thing. He says, count that to be true. And look what he says, therefore, as a result, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Everybody get this idea in our minds, right? When I'm walking the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to just keep trafficking in sin or keep putting myself in places where I'm going to sin. I'm not going to go where I'm going to sin. I'm going to try to maybe not to hang out with the people who are influencing me to go the wrong way. I might try to win them to Christ, but I'm not trying to be their buddy and let them influence me the wrong direction. Right? I don't have to do that. And yeah, that famous illustration, I used it before, right? Someone said this. They said, you know, we can't stop the birds from flying over our heads, but we can certainly stop them from nesting in our hair. Right? That's the truth, right? I know some of us that we don't have that problem, but we can stop it, right? We can stop those things. And he says, and don't present yourself, your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. So he's saying, put yourself where God is going to use you. Put yourself where you're going to grow. Don't put yourself where you're going to go the wrong direction. You don't have to do that. Be smart, be wise, be prudent, right? And then again, he just emphasizes, everybody look up. Would you read it with me? He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Yeah, that's almost like God, the judge, going, hitting the gavel and saying, boom, this is it. Sin doesn't have dominion over you no more. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome sin. And by the way, in the body of Christ like us, don't we need to do that? Especially in our relationships. You know, we always want our way, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. How do we do that, right? We got to overcome that in the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we can live powerfully. And now we can live fruitfully. And you guys all got that little handout today, right? You can open it up. The verse is on the front page. The second thing is, it's actually in green, is these fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about. But there's these fruit of the Spirit, I want you guys to get this in your mind. The fruit of the Spirit is all three of these things. It's a test, it's a goal, and it's a result. So if I look at what's going on in my life, if I examine the fruit, and I'm going to pick on some of you guys. You know, we have the food pantry, right? We get all kinds of cool stuff in. We get tomatoes, we get potatoes, we get lots of fresh produce. When you go and look for produce, what do you look for? Why do you go through it like this? Because you want the tomato with no spots. Isn't that right? Yeah, you want the pepper that's not rotten on the bottom. You know how you go to the store and then they have them all set up like so beautiful and you turn them over and go, ooh. You know how that goes, right? Well, our fruit is something that we can discern. We can examine it and we can say, you know what? Something's not right. Maybe we're not walking in the Spirit. Or we can say, wow, I'm really changing. Maybe I am walking in the Spirit now. You know, we can do that. So it's a test. It's surely a goal that we need to display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's what makes people want to come to Christ. It's what changes people's lives. They go, wow, there's power in that Christianity. There's power in Jesus and his Spirit, right? And it's also a result. And notice, by the way, look what Paul writes. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, not under the law. You know, here's what Paul's trying to say. This idea of the Spirit and the flesh, it's like a tug of war in your life. It's been pictured, by the way, in history a lot of ways. It's kind of like there's a guy on this shoulder saying, go ahead, do it. There's someone on this shoulder saying, don't do it. Go ahead, do it. Don't do it. And that tug of war is going on, right? Some of you guys, it's going on right now, right? I feel you, right? It's going on right now. You know, that's going on. And what he's saying is, when we walk in the Spirit, though, this is what's going to happen. And if we look at what we see in our lives, we can tell which force is impacting us. And let me clarify one thing theologically. The Holy Spirit is not just a force. He's a person of the Godhead who lives inside of you. Okay? So if we stop and we think about that, and by the way, I just want to share the other side of the coin, which we don't like to share too much, but it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And just stop and think about these for a second. If I'm controlled by my flesh, this is what I will see. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Stop. Those are all the really bad sins, right? By the way, the Bible doesn't evaluate them that way and stack them all up and say, these are really bad and these are okay. You know, kind of wink at you. It doesn't work that way, right? But he lists out those first things. So we're going to see all kinds of fleshly carnality and carnal sins in our lives if we're walking by the flesh. And we'll see idolatry because it helps us get what we want, right? Sorcery has the idea of using whereas pharmakia, drugs, or things that make us feel good, those kind of things. We see all that stuff when we're walking in our flesh. But here's a challenge for most of us. By the way, that could be a challenge for a lot of us, too, and it is a challenge. Hopefully, as we grow in the Spirit, those more carnal things, we're not doing some of those things anymore. Like, you know, if you maybe you used to steal all the time. The Lord's taken that from you. Praise God, right? You know, but some of these other ones, they're more subtle, aren't they? Because you can come to church looking like you're dressed to the nines and looking like, you know, super Christian, and underneath that in your heart is all this other stuff. And look what he says here. He says things like hatred. You know, we're kind of talking about Black History Month. What's it all about? It's one race is better than another. Or we want to lift someone up, and we have to put someone down to lift someone up. You know, and by the way, it all is against God, but the world, we just keep doing it. You know, and by the way, it's not even just racially black and white. It's black and black and white, and it's economic, or it's all these other things. All that hatred stuff just keeps coming out of us because that's who we are without Jesus. Right? That's the real fix. You know, and he talks about that so clearly here. And he just says, hatred. And then he says, how about this? Contention. You know, we just want to get our way. We're going to do anything to get our way. We contend with each other. Jealousy. You got it, and I want it. And you don't deserve it as much as me. Right? We have that problem, right? That's what he's talking about, right? Jealousy. And then he goes on, he says, outbursts of wrath. And that's kind of like when your anger gets so hot, eventually you just explode. Yeah. But we have one honest person. Amen. Thank you, Judy, for saying that, right? You know, and you all know this, right? You know, again, we're looking good today. We're looking all calm in church. You know, some of you guys, I don't want to ride home in the car with you. You know, and you might not want to ride home with me either some days, right? Because it comes to that point. But then I'll throw this out. When we see that, and kids, by the way, you can check mom and dad that way, and mom and dad can check you that way when you're screaming because you want something. You know, that's what happens in our lives. These are walking in the flesh kind of things. And he continues on. He says, dissension. That's kind of more subtle, right? Did you hear what he said? Do you want to do that? I don't want to do that. You know, and we kind of plant the seeds of division in the body or in families, right? And by the way, Satan is so good at this because Satan's game, everybody look up, we all notice, Satan's game is two words, right? Divide, subtract. Amen. Satan, divide, subtract. So he plants these things in us, and by the way, we are so gullible. We fall every time. You know, again, outside the spirit, we fall every time. So dissension. Heresy, false teachings. I know the Bible says, you know, thou shalt not kill, but, you know, this is what happened. No, you know, like we can't undo what God says with some heretical teaching. And we like to do that because it gets us what we want. Envy, close cousin of jealousy, right? Murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So everybody look up real quick. Do you think we can detect the flesh pretty easily? And everybody look up, really look up this time, right? Our job is just not to detect the flesh in everyone else. Our job is to detect the flesh in ourselves. We got a couple amens, but right? You understand, right? That's what we're talking about, right? And notice he says, this is what the other side looks like. So you guys, I don't think in our heart, even without Jesus, we want to be necessarily looking like that. So he gives us an alternative. He says, if you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit that saved you, it looks a whole lot different. And I just want to illustrate James, by the way, just like one of the biggest passages like on anger that counselors use, right? Look what James says. And by the way, this is an amen kind of verse. He says, where do fights and wars come from among you? Don't they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Here's warring your members. I want that and I'm going to get it. Right? That's the war in our members right there. And he goes on, continues about that. I won't go into that that's for another day. We'll look at that. But so he says, but here's the deal. But if I walk in the Spirit, look what can happen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if we're going to have a building block, man, we got to walk in the Spirit to really grow, right? And I want to share with you guys, I'm going to bring you to our chart. Just real quick, I want you guys, and I know it's 12:30, we're going to finish in the next couple minutes, and we're going to do the Lord's table, and then we're going to do our business. But I want you guys to think about these fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's three things. What are the three things? It's a test, right? It's a test. What's the second thing? It's a goal, and it's what? A result, right? It really is, right? So when I stop and look at love, this is what I ought to be seeing in my life. And by the way, all you guys got the cheat sheet to take home. This is what I ought to be seeing. Love looks like loving God and people generously and being known by this. And I want to challenge you guys. When people think about you, do they think of you as a lover or a fighter? I remember watching a movie one time, and a guy said, I'm both. You know, right? But you can't be both, right? You're one or the other, right? Love. Does love characterize who you are? And by the way, love does not distinguish between this person or that person because of some external thing. Love cuts through that. And then he says joy. By the way, here's one that just cuts us to the heart right now. I know, I feel like in our family, we're going through a lot of stuff. I'll be honest, right? We're going through a lot of stuff. And Satan just wants to steal our joy. And here's joy. Joy is this: having and showing gladness and contentment for what God has done, is doing, and will do. Like, is that you? Or are you like, ah, you know, we're just so upset about what's happening in life. And by the way, life is upsetting. Let's be real. But this is a joy that goes above the circumstances that we wrestle with. And then the idea of peace, it says, how about this one? Our lives are not defined by worry and anxiety. And I'll just say, it's really not that cool to be a Christian who is a worry wart. It really is not what God's looking for. And I know, by the way, some of us are wired kind of that way in our flesh. God wants to rewire. He wants to rewire us, right? And, you know, instead we're looking at faith and prayer instead. We're trusting. Long-suffering, right? We demonstrate a long, everybody say long. Long. Not Richard Long, Nancy Long, but long, like this long. A long fuse, right? A long fuse with people, and we restrain our temper and our anger in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. That's what it looks like when we're walking in the Spirit. That's what it looks, right? And then he goes in, how about this? He says, kindness, having a tender concern for the needs of others. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not going, that dummy, he should have did this. I'm not helping him. And I would throw out, has anyone ever, don't raise your hand. Haven't you thought that or said that? We have, right? We're great judges, but that guy's not looking for that because he has that job under control. Goodness, our actions reflect love, virtue, righteousness, and holiness. There's a sense when people see us, you know, not that we're goody two-shoes, holier than now, but there's a genuine goodness in us. It kind of just comes out. People go, wow, that's a guy I can trust, I can talk to. You know, he understands, or she understands, right? Faithfulness, right? Our lives, our priorities, which is a huge issue for us, by the way, and our decisions reflect a trust for God and his work. Now, here's how it plays out in our life. You know what that really means? And we're going to cover this in the Sermon on the Mount coming up next, which is our Building Character series. But it means this. You know what? I don't have to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and only do that so I can take care of my family. It means I trust God, and I can follow him and have faith in him that if I don't do that and I serve him instead, I'm going to be okay. But that's our culture, isn't it? Our culture is, just come on, we got to keep going. We got to do this, we got to do that. We got to get more stuff. We got to pay all the bills. We do, but you probably can't pay them all unless God does something special, right? That's the faithfulness thing, right? Gentleness. Our lives are characterized by humility, grace for all, and thankfulness to God. We have a reasonable, and it's just an attitude that stands out. And we're reasonable with people. By the way, don't think we're going to walk out of church. Or by the way, don't think next week you're going to walk into church and everyone is going to be so filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to be like heaven on earth. It may be for a couple minutes, but it won't last. We're going to step on you. We're going to make you mad. We're going to do all these kind of things because we're people and we're struggling. But God's changing. You know, so we have to be reasonable, right? And the last thing, of course, is self-control, demonstrating moderation, constraint, and control over our flesh. So those things are what? They're a test, they're a goal, and they're a result. We need to use the game changer, the Holy Spirit, and follow him. We're going to shoot right past that. Here's the last thought. How in the world am I going to accomplish that? And I'll throw this out. I've said this a whole lot of times. And by the way, I don't always practice this personally. But the Christian life is meant to be lived thoughtfully and reflectively. In other words, what that means is I'm thinking before I respond to what you say, I might need to take a pause and think about that in light of Scripture, maybe even pray about it, but I need to slow myself down, right? And then it involves sowing to and seeking the Spirit of God daily. It's like, God, I need you. You know, we sing that song, right? Presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, praying in the Spirit daily, and obeying the Spirit and the Word constantly. That's kind of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. And I kind of took that from a whole lot of places in Scripture and people's thoughts about that. And by the way, those are all in your little handout, so you can kind of dwell on that more later on. So how about you guys? I know about you, but I think I need to walk in the Spirit. I don't know about you guys. I got to go home today, so I better be walking in the Spirit, right? You know, I got to deal with life, and it's not always pretty. I need to walk in the Spirit. And I want to bring glory to God. I need to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word today. Lord, change us. Make us into, Father, the believers and the followers that you want us to be. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.